Hey everybody, this is Spike Ferriston from Spike's Car Radio. We're out here in the porch of at the Malibu Kitchen at the Malibu Country Mart every weekend doing podcasts. My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. We're going to have Jeremy Piven. We're going to have Chris Hardwick. See you soon on Spike's Car Radio.
I think he's over-projecting for a podcast.
And I love to over-project for podcasts. Join me every week at PodcastOne.com and Apple Podcasts.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a choice, but I'm going to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for all you do. We like it when you share the good word. Hey, Drewski.
Hey now, buddy. Let's get into this mob thing before we get off into something else.
Yeah, the mob.
I've been complaining about the mob for, what, a year now or something? But I began to think that, did I talk to you about Kathy Griffin and how upset I was, how they treated her?
You touched on it. Yes.
Well, I'm beginning to think.
I'm not saying how upset I was.
I did not like what she did. I was unhappy with how she was treated by the social media mob. Does that make
sense? Well, there's an element, I think, with a lot of people, it's kind of about timing. It's like, hold on, Drew.
Okay. Here we go.
How does a landslide happen, people? It doesn't happen just on the first rain. It's a bunch of events that lead to it.
Yeah.
It has to happen. First, there needs to be a fire. It's a clear, deforest all the thing with the fire.
Yeah.
Then we need a rain, and the soil needs to get saturated. And then like another rain, and then it needs to hit its saturation point. Then it rains, then it slides.
Yeah.
And you could be standing under the mountain for the first rain or before the fire or whatever, and you're not going to get hit. We were at a little saturation point, I think, with the civility stuff and the Trump bashing and the sort of back and the forth with when Kathy made her move.
Yeah.
Everyone was a little bit, you know, been when Kathy posted that image or whoever posted it, we were at the saturation point. It'd been 6 months of nonstop, and I think that's why society reacted. I'm very curious.
It's like they were nauseated, and then they threw up.
I think if she had done that day one, there would have been some pushback, but it would have been kind of, all right, moving on. Yeah. It would have been a little, we're at a people, maybe even both sides, where it's a sort of saturation point, and there was a big regurgitation.
Maybe.
I think that may have been.
But my point is that, look, she lost her job, she lost her sponsor, she lost a bunch of, she had a lot of consequences. Move on, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to pile on. You don't have to actually draw blood. And to me, it reminds me of sort of free speech issues.
She drew first blood.
Whatever.
All right, sorry.
But it reminds me of free speech issues, which is you defend the speech you hate the most. And I don't like what she did, but I dislike the way she was treated more, so I will stand with her, you know, to try to stand against the mob attack.
Well, do we?
It's not a free. Not that it's
no,
a free speech
issue. No, we never
got
into this thing. Okay. But free speech versus I'm going to defecate on the American flag. Like, what do you think? You know,
if somebody defecated the American flag and then was say a mob developed to the point that somebody actually went after that person in his home, I'm going to stand with that guy.
For sure.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. We need to stand up to this mob.
That's not all you're saying.
No, that is the same thing.
But is it? Well,
I'm saying stand up before that happens.
The whole thing about the mob is, sorry, mob people, but they do this thing all the time where, you know, you go, look, they shot the guys over Charlie Hebdo over there. Yeah, oh, yeah. What about the guy? What about the Piss Christ? You don't think that guy had threats? The guy put the Christ and piss there and took a picture? You don't think there were death threats against him? I'm like, no, but he's at a P.F. Chang's right now in Manhattan eating with his friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there were threats. There were threats. He got a lot of threats. Right. And then he went to work.
Yeah.
Without bodyguards. Right. Or with bodyguards for a week and now without. You get the difference between being gunned down at work and threats that are never acted on.
Yeah.
I happen to be much more in the camp of I've had death threats against me, but they weren't acted on. So I don't really walk around with that, hey, I got a What about my livelihood? Or what about me? Or whatever it is. So first thing first, you know, the nut jobs that do the death threats. Look, that happens to guys who win Super Bowls.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get up there and you go, we won, I knew we would win, and we're number one. That guy, if he's playing for New England, I'm sure there are a couple nut jobs from Atlanta that sent a death threat.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, there were we had it against I was thinking of Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, and number 42, Robinson.
Jackie Robinson.
Jackie Robinson got death threats.
Yeah.
But he didn't get shot at. No, this is just angry, crazy people writing stuff versus actually getting. So whatever. So no one should get death threats. On the other hand, anybody can get a death threat these days. Just send out a tweet that's insane, and then you'll have an insane person tweet you back, you should have your head cut off or whatever it is, and that'll be a death threat. But I like to think here in America, where it's Kathy Griffin or Jackie Robinson, we do less acting on it, which is a good thing.
Well, they at least you will agree with me that they continue until somebody loses employment or livelihood. They have to hurt somebody before they stop.
I think they go until the next thing comes along.
I don't know what they do. But let me talk. I want to talk about what it is. That's what
my experience is they go right and left. They go forward until there's another outrage, and then they get outraged about that.
They have room for several outrages at once, believe me. But be that as it may, listen, I want to talk about why they're so prone to this mom thing. And I'm beginning to think that people don't understand that when you're traumatized, a part of yourself is disconnected from the rest of you. And it's there creating motivational states and behaviors that you do. Whenever you think, why did I do that? That's that part of you that is becoming a collective. Lots of people with walled off parts of themselves are collectively acting out the aggression of that leftover hurt part of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it's become so sticky now. It has so much currency to it because people get gratified by coming together with other people that are injured. They don't realize that's what they're doing and acting out their aggression in a common mass.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll remind you that through most of human history, you know, governments avoided building town squares because that's where the mobs would form.
Mm-hmm.
So they had little tiny ones, but they wouldn't have big ones. Now we have this gigantic town square, which is the social media environment. So between
hold on, you want to take a sniff? Wow, didn't deserve that one.
Too much. Yeah, you're right. But to put the two together, I think is why we're getting this now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying it's more dangerous than people realize, and more pathological too, because it's unproductive. I mean, it's just so unproductive. It's a primitive part of yourself with a primitive part of another person behaving. Not good.
I agree. I try not to engage in any of that stuff because I don't feel like it's productive. I also feel like if you're insanely busy, it's almost impossible to carve out enough time for that. I was doing a show last week when that shooting with the softball game and everything. And I had this thing where it's like the guys were all going to meet at the house at 8 a.m. I think I got up at like 7:30, fed the dog, let the dog out. It was sort of spend my early mornings trying to keep the dog from waking up. There's three dudes and two chicks in my house, and the two chicks sleep, and the three dudes get up or sleep or get up, but it's a completely different thing. If I go into my son's room at 7:30 in the morning, he just goes, "Hi, Dad." If I go into my daughter's room at 8:30, she's like, "Oh, what's going on?" You know, like it's just crazy. I was just standing there this morning going, there's a wiring going on here.
Your hormones. What does that have to do with the shooter?
I'll tell you. So
I'm trying to figure out what the hell.
I got up, and next thing you know, I had five guys, and we're tearing stuff apart, and I'm laying stuff out. And then I had a bunch of radio interviews to do. And then by the time I got to the third one, the guy's like, "Hey, well, what are your feelings about what's going on in Washington with the shooting?" I'm like, "I didn't know. I felt a little embarrassed, but I don't know anything." And the reason I don't know anything is because I'm
been working.
So on my feet, so running around. You guys, if you do that, it's a better place to be. And look, it's not great when you have to comment on it, like I had to do with the sheepish what happened in Washington. But it's a better life, I think, just the busy. You know, I think the devil used to make work for idle hands, and now it makes work for idle brains.
Same.
Oh, wait, no sniff?
No. No sniff.
No, no, what I mean is you're saying the same, but how dare you? But the reason I say how dare you is
okay,
because
idle hands make idle brains.
How about that? No, what I'm saying is, I think in the past, the devil makes work for idle hands, which is probably several hundred or more years. I don't even know if it's Shakespearean.
I don't know. Probably.
Think of where the origins of devil makes work for idle hands is. It's a great it's a great saying. Think of the past, it meant I'm going to steal that guy's horse, or I'm going to chuck this rock at the buggy.
Yes.
Or and there's like, I'm going to drink too much.
Right.
I'm going to do things.
I'm going to behave in a bad way.
I'm going to do things. Now you just sit at your computer and sort of eat yourself from the inside out. Like, I do mean it makes devil's making work for idle brains.
Yeah.
There's not enough going on, and it's not a, I'm going to go cause mischief. Mm. It's a, I'm going to sit and seethe.
Yeah, which is what happened to the guy that was shooting. That's why you need employment. And ZipRecruiter, tough to find talent perhaps for your business, but ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 job sites with just one click. They've got this powerful technology that efficiently matches the right people to the job you're posting. Unlike other sites, ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. Over 80% of jobs posted get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. Think about that. Over three quarters of jobs posted get qualified candidates within a day. That's crazy. No juggling emails, no calls. Screen, rate, and manage candidates in one place with their easy-to-use dashboard. So it's all in one place. The stuff comes in within a day. You screen them, you rate them, you manage it, and it's all there on their dashboard. Right now, our listeners can post jobs to ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. Free. Try it for free. Again, it's ZipRecruiter.com/ADS.
Idle hands are the devil's workshop.
Ooh.
Idle lips are his mouthpiece.
Wow.
It's in the Bible.
Wow.
See, by the way, I literally read the Ten Commandments the other night. Not because I have any interest in the Bible or any interest in the Ten Commandments, but whenever somebody starts getting on me, hey, you're an atheist, I'm like, I am, but I believe in many of these things that are in the Bible and in the Ten Commandments, and would have no problem with more citizens of the planet absorbing some of these things. I don't have any issue with that. It's absurd to me. I had a funny conversation with Dennis Prager, and I think it's people. This is when I know, or this is when I realize that methinks thou, my lady, protests too much, or whatever it is. This is when I realize, like, you know, see, to me, hey, I think chickens should be treated humanely. Yeah, me too. Hey, I think we should throw dye on celebrities wearing faux fur because it promotes the use of real fur. I'm not interested in that. But anyway, now I know you're crazy. Now I know you've crossed.
Yeah.
You've crossed because you're into – there's more energy here. Something happened. Well, I was repeatedly raped as a youth on a chinchilla farm. Okay. So
why the chinchillas?
Might there be some connection to this?
No, how dare you.
And your politics of today?
Oh, I know you and your psychobabble.
Right.
Try to make those connections.
Right. So – this is the way I feel about people. And it was interesting. I was doing Dennis Prager's show and nosafespace.com, if you'd like to check that out. I was hosting for him. And they just said to me, you're an atheist. Do you hope there's a heaven? And I said, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Well, of course I do. I got kids. I got a dog that died, you know. Trying to avoid grandma. Oh, wait. She's not going to be there. Anyway. So, yeah. And everyone was surprised. They're like, oh, you do, huh? And I said, yeah. Sure, why wouldn't I? And they're like, most atheists who, on this show who Dennis is debating with or whatever, they say absolutely not.
And well, you're a pragmatist. You're not really an atheist. You're a pragmatist.
Right. So I'm like, well, and I don't get it. Wouldn't you like to be wrong?
You're a pragmatist who doesn't believe in a supreme being.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so while you can adhere to religious principles and practices, you don't put in any kind of theological context.
Right. So I hope there's a heaven.
And if it here's another, I would even posit that you would agree with this, that if it makes you feel better to believe there's a heaven, have at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love all that as well.
You're a pragmatist. You got to start telling them that, because we need pragmatism today. I'm telling you.
Boy, do it.
Yeah. So.
All right. Somebody has a.
You're a pragmatist, not a materialist, which is a little different.
Not a materialist.
Not the way like a. What's the guy that's the big British guy that's the big anti-God guy? Richard Dawkins. He's not like Richard Dawkins because he is a strict materialist.
What is a materialist?
Materialist is...
I like a gabardine.
Well, that's part of materialism. But materialism is what is. All that exists is the physical universe, and there's no possibility of anything beyond that.
Uh-huh.
And although we may, there's different kinds of materialism, like how we perceive what is something that sort of, you know, can you perceive the thing in itself? And are you really perceiving anything when you see matter? Or is it really just energy in a different state? Doesn't matter. It's all kind of materialism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Matterism is sort of one version of that.
I just, the people that spend a lot of time trying to foil those who have a lot of faith and a lot of religion. Feels like a huge waste of your time.
Again, it's not pragmatic.
Not pragmatic.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, let's talk to Jacques, or I don't know how he wants to. I guess it's Jacques, yeah.
It's Jacques.
What's Jacques going on, Adam. Jacques?
Yes, man, it's great. I'm so glad you're able to take my call, Dr. Drew.
Thanks for calling in.
What's happening?
Can I pick your brain, Adam?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of funny, as I was listening to you, coming up, and you were speaking about the devil's workshop and even yourself away in front of a computer, you know, I resemble that remark.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to maybe not to the extreme that you were speaking, but I wanted to I'm curious, and I was hoping that with Drew's addiction expertise, he might could weigh in on this and see if I got a something or if it's a whole lot of nothing. But basically, I'm not going to give you a lot of background. I'm going to say it really fast. My job is extremely, extremely stressful. The baseline level is stressful, and there's just I deal with a lot of stress.
What kind of job? What kind of job is it?
I actually work for county government. I'm a maintenance director for the county
Mobile
that I live
grooming.
In.
So you manage lots of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do, and they also by the side, they say, by the way, we've got this architect that says we can build this prison for $6 million. Can you build it for $3 million?
Oof,
you know, and in your spare time, those things are happening all the time.
Right.
That's mm-hmm. Anyway. So, but and real quick, a quick background, Adam. I must have been born under a rock because I don't know Corolla worlds or universe until. You went on Ben Shapiro's podcast last, I guess, fall.
Yeah.
And he gave the recommend. And I'm always looking for new content, and I haven't missed anything since then. I can't believe it. I never even watched a man show. I've sucked all those down, rented the hammer. What? I mean, you know.
Did you watch Me and Adam on MTV in the 90s?
How can he do that?
I'm just wondering.
I did.
How'd you find that?
Because I heard... On your show, MTV. No, I'm sorry. I saw you in a cameo on the Adam Carolla show when he was buying his dad's house and redoing it.
Have you seen Windy City Heat?
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
No, is that a must? I'm picking your brain, Adam. I'm looking for instruction here. Is that one I need to see?
Yes.
Windy City Heat is a must see the documentaries. Yeah. You got Roadhar and all that stuff. But thank you, Jock. Or Jock, thank you. So the question is what?
Well, I've after work is that's the thing. The time that I have, the precious time that I have a lot of things that I want to do. I'm building a geodesic dome in my backyard. That's something I have to call you and Ray about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But recently I've developed a sciatic nerve condition. I'm kind of nursing my way out of that. I want to write. I'm an ex-musician songwriter who toured the Southeastern Conference in the 80s. I've got things that I want to do. I'm 57 years old, and as Woody Allen said, a third of my life is over. I still have things that I want to do, you know, and I always am listening to podcasts. I mean, and a great deal of that is not your fault because it's just so interesting.
Well, thanks, but Jack. What's your question?
Yeah, how can we help you?
Is there an addiction to taking on input, you know, and not stopping to go do something else? Is that a condition?
Well,
it's an interesting question. I'm going to parse it out for Adam, and you see if you agree with my parsing. I don't believe you can overdo the input. I just don't. I listen to a podcast called The Partially Examined Life that I recommend because I found my way there through 50 other different podcasts and lectures and things like that. And I'm gratified. I'm almost meditative in these things. I don't think I could overdo it, but I don't have inertia. If I also had inertia, or if it kept me away from action, then we got a problem. Does that make sense, Adam? That inertia is really what he's asking about.
Well, look, you listen to the podcast when you're working on your geodesic dome or whatever.
You're doing something else. Yeah.
What is it? Geodesic. Geodesic, yeah. I literally was – I was working on my bedroom today, working on building on my bedroom today, and I was listening to Dennis Prager's radio show. You know, that's all day, every day.
Right.
So – just as long as you're doing something simultaneously other than sitting in a bath, then that's fine.
And the rest of the day is really what's important, too, is that stuff's moving forward in some way. It sounds like you need a change, though. You're sort of stuck, right?
Well, I am.
Yeah.
And to be honest, Adam, I don't find it very – I get too engaged in the content of what I'm listening to be really productive in something else.
Well, hold on, Jack. Hold on a second.
Yes.
I love Ben Shapiro, but listen to me.
Yeah.
It's one thing to attempt to watch a live car auction on the Speed Channel and keep track of everything while you're listening to a podcast,
right.
But to take two pieces of 2x4 and put them together, or to clean the garage, or to clean the car, or
to go
to the gym,
yeah,
or whatever that is, you're going to have to push through that. And then you're going to have to pop out the earbuds when it comes time to absorbing other stimuli and other information. But, Jack, this is a very unique problem. It's kind of a first world problem, so I like it. And I like where your head's at because you're listening to me. But now listen to me in real time when I say, put the earbuds in and go build that dome.
I'm also saying he needs to take some risk. It sounds like he really is just sort of stuck. And with great risk comes great reward. Let that go in your head.
A lot of big risks. A lot of big isms today.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you. Speaking of risk, let's mitigate that risk with LifeLock.
Mm.
Wow. Ever get the scary flashing pop-up virus alert? Probably a tech support scammer trying to get you to call their toll-free number, trick you into giving them remote access to your computer. Identity theft is America's fastest-growing crime. That's why I have LifeLock. LifeLock scans hundreds of millions of transactions each second. If they detect your info, they send you an alert. If you have a problem, their U.S.-based team of agents will work to fix it. They do not outsource. They do it right here in the U.S. of A. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock is the best protection available. And here's some good news, people.
Mm-hmm.
Memberships start at just $9.99 a month. That's right, under $10. $9.99 a month for a little peace of mind. It's LifeLock. Drew.
Good news. It's the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock. Use promo code Adam. That's easy. Adam, for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership, visit LifeLock.com and you will save 10% now.
All right. Kevin wants to know why people spit in urinals before they pee?
It's a great question. Good observation.
Kevin? Hi, guys. Yes, I just kind of noticed this throughout my life that guys will kind of spit in the urinal before they pee, and it's not even a real spit. It's almost like just a little saliva.
And Kevin, riddle me this, and Adam, you put your sort of intuitive hat on here. Have you ever noticed how males, strictly males and typically young males, when they lean their head over a height, what's the first thing they do?
Spit.
Okay. Yeah. Does it seem to you that it's sort of the same impulse?
Possibly, I never thought of that.
I'll connect it to you.
So the idea of the arc of the urine, the spitting down into the urinal and the spitting down into the Grand Canyon, those all kind of feel the same, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
So psychoanalytic theorists believe that there's all kinds of shit tied into that in terms of how men sort of need to push out into the world with their spirits, their fluids. It's sort of what we do. And then we build the bridges, and then we build towers, and we have all these other sort of sublimations of that. But it's just another weird motivational state that humans have, and the human male seems to have this one particular weird spitting, peeing. You know what I mean?
I also feel like it gives them something to aim for. I think a lot of them spit and then aim at it.
But the aiming itself is that same kind of out in the world, pushing out. You know, it's the same sort of thing that men do. And I'm not a psychoanalyst, so I don't know the particular constructs, but I've heard of, even hitting a baseball has a similar kind of a quality to it, doesn't it?
Hitting a baseball, if you can really crank one, is one of the most satisfying feelings in the world.
So I would argue that throwing a ball, hitting a baseball, all that spitting in the urinal, spitting out into the Grand Canyon, all those things have similar motivational qualities to them in terms of the reward the male brain gets.
I think our own Mike Dawson may be the ultimate alpha male.
He spits a lot?
Well, there's one. Although, I'm secretly always jealous.
First of all, am I right, though? Isn't that kind of a weird kind of? Yeah. All right.
He was sitting outside some years ago, just smoking, sitting on a chair, and he was just hawking loogies all the way around him in this, semicircle. And I was, literally treading through it on my way in the front door.
Marking his territory, man. What are you going to do?
And I was like, and there's a hedge right to his left. And he's like, what are you doing, Dawson? He's like, hawking loogies. And I'm like, yeah, but people walk through here to go to their car and they're stepping on it. He's like, he was confused, which I like. That's my favorite part. So? And I'm like, well, there's a hedge right here. Why don't you hawk a loogie into the hedge? And he's like, okay, I guess I could. I'm like, well, yeah, because people are walking through the loogies into the studio. Okay, Your Highness, I'll do it that way. Like, okay. Do you know how jealous I am of that?
So it's sort of similar jealousy to how you feel about people who believe in afterlife.
Yep.
Yeah, same thing.
One day I'm going to come back as a dude who hawks loogies.
It's loogie ignorance versus afterlife belief. Same.
Thumps the Bible. All right. Let's see. Let's talk to Lucy, 54, Wisconsin. Lucy?
Uh-oh.
Mm-mm.
Hi.
Hey, Lucy. What's going on?
Oh. See? Not good. Not good.
Boy. What's the problem?
Adam.
Yeah.
You know, you guys always talk about maybe when people are dating and stuff, and guys, either the guy's into you or he's not into you.
Yeah.
And so, my husband's not into me. And it's really painful to me.
Have you talked to him about it?
Yeah.
What's he say?
Well.
You there?
He says it's really painful. He says that he's not in love.
Well, okay.
But he loves me. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I get it. Kids, grown kids, what's going on with the family?
Kids, not that grown. They're teenagers.
Oof.
Oh, don't make that oof sound. How old are they?
No, okay, I think he's right.
True, you're the world's worst
17.
Doctor. Is this infected? Ugh.
Man.
How'd the CAT scan come out? Ugh.
Man, I got to be what I want to be.
How the culture tests come out. Yeah.
I want to get high. Do what I want to do.
So wait, the kids are how old?
17, 15, 12.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
12, not so good, but the 17, 15, and they're almost out of the house. Is your husband a good guy?
Yes.
And is he thinking about other women or just not about you?
That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe. Certainly porn, right? But
I would consider that, be grateful for that.
Yeah, you can be grateful for that. Yeah. And then when he says, saying he's not in love with you is a fairly vindictive thing to say. And
well, it means something's been went on before he came up
off,
with that.
First off, when did somebody need to be in love to be attracted to somebody?
Right,
so
right.
The one, it's a non sequitur to me, a little bit.
He needs to define what he's talking about. Is he just not excited to be with you? Is he, you know, not attracted in the same way anymore? Doesn't get turned on. I mean, there's a lot of things that needs to be kind of parsed out, which goes
but,
to the...
But why is he saying I'm not in love? Is he is he resentful of you?
Yeah, he's mad at me. This is true.
Because?
You know, we've had... I'm having a hard time understanding it. He said that we argued a lot in the last couple of years. You know, we've had some stressors in our life. But he said we've argued a lot and that I yelled at him and I hurt his feelings. He says that, and I feel like he was just cranky and grumpy all the time and just like questioning and pushing and blah. And then I'd be so confused after we argued and I, you know, and yes, if I was pushed in a corner, I kind of like lash out. I would yell, I suppose, but I never had any... doubts in our
there's
love
a lot,
relationship.
A lot of moving parts here. You guys could get some counseling?
Oh, yes. Please.
Yes, we are in counseling. And Dr. Drew, you know what I did? I walked myself into a meeting. I go to Adult Children of Alcoholics.
Ah, great. Good job.
You know,
well done.
I went many years ago, you know, and it was helpful and sustaining for a long time. You know, then of course life and kids and all this. I don't go. And
all right, but here's the deal: you either or both injured and or traumatized him with all that, and so he is in some sort of unacceptable state, something he can't accept. You got him into a zone that he can't manage, can't deal, can't be in, and he needs to talk about in therapy whatever that is. You know, what exactly happened that put him over the edge. And see if we can gaff him back on board a little bit. It sounds like you should be able to.
I've got a question for you. I'm going to
me
tease
personally?
It. You can answer it on the next show.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'll tip my hand.
Okay.
But
all right.
I think guys are so much more, well, not the newer guys, but the older guys are much more pragmatic than your average woman. And they resent... A semi-substantial portion of our life sort of arguing about nothing.
Okay. We don't like that because it's not pragmatically.
They get resentful because it's like trying to get a bunch of stuff done and we're arguing about a bunch of nothing.
Yeah.
Where it doesn't even need to be an argument.
Yeah.
Simply just do that, do this. I got it. Moving on. Mm. You know? Yeah. And I think a lot – this guy is probably super pragmatic and he's probably resentful that they're engaging in this sort of non –
There's some kind of resentment. Yes, I will agree with you on that.
I'm curious,
but you're projecting a little bit.
What, Lucy?
Yeah.
Is your husband what's he do? An engineer?
Yep.
Shit. How about somebody go? Whoa! How'd you know that? Somebody.
Yes. Whoa! I say that all the time, Adam. While you're
okay. All right. Good.
For the record, my jaw is dropped.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know.
So he's
my was as it always is, but I've seen him do this 100 times. So
and when Max Pata pulled his dick out, his jaw was dropped too.
He's a very pragmatic guy, but also there's also sort of a non-emotional.
But I'm feeling this. But he's a pragmatic guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that may be sort of a non-emotionality too.
Let the human being answer. Okay. Pragmatic.
Yeah, but yes to both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And Adam, I want you to ask me a question.
What do you like most about me?
No.
All right. Come on. I got to talk about married at first sight. Yeah. All right. Can I get some credit for just
I give it to you,
tuning
man.
In and knowing full, what's going on in the world?
Full respect.
But let's not call it. Let's not call it luck, and let's not attribute it to some magical power. It's not a magical power. It's a tune-in power. Mm. I can hear what this guy's at, and I just picked the most pragmatic profession that wasn't too highfalutin. You know what I mean? Not brain surgeon.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, fighter pilot. I was picking something that was pragmatic but sort of within reach.
So you picked who she is, the response you were hearing from him, and then assessed the probability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't give it thought. It comes to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a vessel.
That is magic, man.
Yeah. Married at First Sight. Let's let that come to you. New episodes every Thursday, 9 o'clock, 8 central. On Lifetime. New season follows Chicago singles who agree to get legally married to a stranger the moment they first meet them. Team of experts create three compatible couples based on scientific matchmaking. They don't meet until they walk down the aisle and see each other for the very first time at the altar. After several weeks go by, they must decide, do we remain together? Do we get divorced? You can catch up on full episodes, do it on demand at MyLifetime.com or the Lifetime app. Watch the new episodes every Thursday, 9 o'clock, 8 central on Lifetime, everybody. All right, you can go to AdamCarolla.com and catch up on any live shows or go to Corolla Drinks. I had a Lynette over there on Mangria. You can go to NoSafeSpaces.com and check out our offerings for you, Dennis Prager and I. Drew?
DrDrew.com, the Wes Chapman pod number 2 is up. There's lots of interesting new twists and turns in that man's life. Man.
So, until next time.
DrDrew.com for you.
Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
The Corolla Drink Seattle Bar Crawl is sold out. But don't worry. You can still party with us at the Showbox Soto Lounge. Saturday, June 24th. Lynette Carolla, Ray Oldhoffer, Jay Miller, Gary, Kalen, Dylan, Nick, Dawson, plus Loxy. And I'll pick up all your pieces, but I can't help you go follow your woman through the way they end. They set your body to be free. Loxy at the Showbox Soto Lounge, plus special guest Moon Darling. Tickets and more information at CorollaDrinks.com. Get your tickets now for Loxy and Moon Darling Saturday night at the Showbox Soto Lounge at CorollaDrinks.com.